This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the personal ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, May 11th, 2014, the fourth Sunday of Easter, by Father William Doc Holliday.
The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Happy Mother's Day for all of you who are mothers out there. We have a special relationship with our mothers because of their provision for us. A lot of you say, well, Dad's the one that provides. Yeah, maybe monetarily, and maybe, you know, he's there. Everybody likes Mom better. Everybody, well, I don't say better. It's just a different thing. It's a different thing when people provide for you. Well, I mean, when it's really meaningful in your life, again, not saying dads are not meaningful, but we just have a special relationship with Mom because of what she does for us, the nurture that's there. The only thing that's probably better in as far as the nurture that goes in Moms is our Lord Jesus Christ. Second to John 3:16, this psalm is probably the most familiar scripture passage. Everybody know, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Because, what do we hear it mostly at? Funerals? We always hear this at funerals. It's sung or it's said at funerals. It is not a funeral type of psalm. The church calendar goes through the liturgy in accordance with Scripture. We're in Easter, right? We're still celebrating Easter. Everything's white. Where's the resurrection? And you would say, why, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, why that funeral during Easter? Why wasn't that during Holy Week? Why wasn't that during Lent? This is a psalm of the resurrection. There is a psalm that we hear during Holy Week. Our Lord's last words on the cross, one of his last words, my God, why have you forsaken me? That's Psalm 22. That is the passion psalm. It is a suffering psalm. Psalm 23 is a psalm of resurrection. Psalm 23 is very personal, sort of like our moms were, much more personal level. Psalm 23, it speaks of the love of our Lord Jesus Christ for each and every one of us. It speaks of His provision for us. Not when we die, now, right now. There's some translational things that kind of go on. When you're talking about poetry, one of the things that we do is we try to make it sound poetic. When they translated the psalm into English, they did it, and it is beautiful. It is quite beautiful. But it really doesn't jive completely with the way it was presented in Hebrew. And most people are like, well, whatever, what difference does it make? It makes a pretty significant difference. When the way it's worded in English has this tendency to focus our attention on what happens at the end, as opposed to what happens right here and right now. This whole idea, God's love for His people. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Think about the times in which this was written. The times in which this was written, people had somewhat of an abstract view of God. There wasn't a face to the things. That's the incarnation. That is our Lord Jesus Christ. He put a face to God. God didn't, He became something that was just not ethereal, not just abstract, but something real, something profound. It put a face to the name of God. Our Lord Jesus Christ is our shepherd. Again, when this was written, this psalm, the Lord is my shepherd. Sort of a broad view of what that whole thing meant. What does our Lord Jesus Christ tell us in that gospel today? I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. And the writer of Hebrews tells us that God is the great shepherd of the sheep. Peter mentions God as the shepherd and guardian of our souls. You know, we're not agrarians, so we kind of lose sight of this whole shepherd thing. We don't get the shepherd thing. What does a shepherd do? He guides, feeds, and governs his flock. Our Lord Jesus Christ does that for us. And again, not in an abstract way, the way the people in the Old Testament viewed it. Yeah, he took them out of the land of Egypt. Yeah, he provided manna from heaven. He's always there providing. But again, there's not a face to the name. Our Lord Jesus Christ brings it to fruition for us. We understand that he guides us. Jesus Christ has been your guide into the green pastures that are his church. They are the green pastures of which the psalmist speaks. That is the church, the green pastures that give us solace. Our Lord Jesus Christ guides us into that. Whether you're baptized when you're an infant or when you're an adult, for those of us who came into the church as adults, we understand this guiding force that was there, this person of our Lord Jesus Christ who opened the door to his church for us. But even if you're an infant when you're baptized, there comes to be a point in your life where things become real for you, where things are, they fall into place. Yeah, I've been in church for 25 years. I get it, as much as we can get it on this side of the veil. You can understand that it's true, it's real. Our Lord Jesus Christ guides you. After you're in the church, he feeds you. That's what a shepherd does. He feeds his flock. Our Lord Jesus Christ feeds us with his body, blood, soul, and divinity every time we come to the altar rail. Every time we come up for the Eucharist, our Lord is feeding us. You know, with so many of us, we don't avail ourselves of what the Lord has provided for us in that table. But he feeds us with his self. It's just not some manna from heaven. It is truly the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Savior. He governs us with his Holy Spirit. Our Lord tells us that he told his apostles, I have to go to the Father, because if I don't go to the Father, I can't send the Paraclete, the Helper. I can't send the one who's going to guide and direct you, the one who's going to protect you in all this worldly situation in which you find yourself. He governs us by his Holy Spirit. Our Lord Jesus Christ fulfills all this that the shepherd does for us. So you don't have to be an agrarian to come to grips with that. Then it's for us here and now. It's not something for the future, particularly not at your funeral. It's a sense of security, even now. Even in a sense of affliction. This is where you get into the translational things. It can kind of lend itself to a funeral-esque kind of appreciation for this when we listen to the English translation. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It's not what it says in Hebrew. In Hebrew it is, yea, though I walk through the valley of deep darkness. We have to deal with death at the end of either the lives of loved ones or friends or our own lives. It's somewhat, thank God, rare. We don't have to deal with that much. We have to deal with times of deep darkness throughout our lives. Whether you're 15 years old or 115, whether it is fleeting, a couple days, a couple hours, or chronic, or may last your whole life, as we walk through these valleys of deep darkness, we have to understand that we have a shepherd there. It's not just about when we die, not just the valley of the shadow of death, but the valley of deep darkness, whenever that may be. To understand that he's our shepherd is a here and now thing for us, or it should be, if you avail yourselves of the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. His provision for us, the provision for his people. He is not only our shepherd, he is our host. That one line, thou preparest a table before me. He prepares that table. This is a very Eucharistic, a very sacramental psalm. It's interesting to sit back. I mean, some of the wording, everything in the Old Testament, I love the Old Testament, everything in the Old Testament points forward to what comes to fruition in the new through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we have these references, these vague references. You can see baptism in this psalm, Christian baptism. He leads me beside still waters. Again, in Hebrew, it's he leads me beside the waters of rest. When you look at this water analogy that's used in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament when Jesus calms the storm, the Holy Spirit from the time of creation, the Holy Spirit hovered over the waters that were in chaos, and he brought order to those. When our Lord leads us into the still waters, the waters of rest, that's the waters of baptism. Because when you're baptized, the waters of rest, the Holy Spirit brings order, and he brings solace, and he brings peace, as opposed to the waters of chaos that are outside of his church. That's where the psalmist is going with this. It speaks of the Eucharist. Thou preparest a table before me. I touched on that before. He puts a feast before you. You know, in this world, we think of a feast of, oh, this, you know, this is really good. This is good food. Good food. You bring our Lord Jesus Christ into your very being, body, blood, soul, and divinity, at every Mass. Every single Mass. Just avail yourself of that. Avail yourself of that as much as you possibly can, because then, truly, your cup runneth over. Your cup overflows if you will just avail yourself of what He's given you. Unfortunately, we don't have a tendency to do that. Thou anointest my head with oil. When we are baptized, we are anointed with oil. Two different times. At your confirmation, you're anointed with oil. Right before you die, or when you get very sick, you are anointed with oil. The psalmist speaks of the sacraments that our Lord Jesus Christ has provided for us. Our cup overflows if we will just bother to drink from it. It overflows. And you know what? It does overflow because we don't have a tendency to drink from it. So the graces don't stop flowing forth from our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't avail yourself of them, they're just going to overflow. Take advantage of what He does for you. And one last one. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Again, that kind of lends itself to this idea of the next life. This forever thing. Those aren't the Hebrew words. I shall dwell in the house of the Lord for length of days. Length of days, always. Starting now. Starting when you were baptized. Starting when you were guided into the church. It starts now, and it continues now. It continues throughout these times of deep darkness. It's always. It's always, and we have to appreciate that. Because to know this passage is to have a ready-made peace that has been given us by the Holy Spirit. It's ready-made. It's over and done with. He has hung on the cross for us. He has sacrificed Himself for us. He has bought eternal life for us. We just have to embrace it. It is ready-made. He is a shepherd for us. He is just waiting for you to allow it. Do sheep run off? Yes. And He will seek you. And He will try to find you. But don't keep running off. Don't run off. Avail yourself of what He has provided for you. Appreciate it. I'll leave you with this. It's a quote from St. Jose Maria Escriva. He's speaking about the first opening sentence of this. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I quote from St. Jose Maria. He says, what can upset a soul who sincerely repeats these words? Sincerity is the first and foremost. Sincerity is the most important thing. Yeah, we can know the words. You know what? Most pagans that are walking out there know the words of Psalm 23. They know them, but that's not sincere for them. They haven't embraced it. They haven't accepted it. We, hopefully you, have accepted that. Avail yourself of the shepherding of our Lord Jesus Christ. Because again, as St. Jose Maria said, what soul could be upset? Not upset as in annoyed or upset as in angry, but upset as in disconcerted. Does that mean we walk around with a silly grin on our face when we're in times of deep darkness? No. That's not what it means. It means that we have someone that's there with us. Somebody that's there with us. And I mean, people might not be avoiding you because of this, that, or the other thing. There are just times when people aren't there for us because of life. He's always there for us. He's always there for you. Just avail yourself of that because He is your shepherd. And if He is truly your shepherd, if it is sincere for you, you will not want. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.